Mr. Tasky. The Antic Files. Episode 16.
Welcome to another installment of The Antic Files. I'm your host, Wade, and this episode features Antic Magazine number 16. This is from January 1984. It is volume 2, number 10. The subject is Printer Survey, and it's issue number 16. The price is $2.50, and that's $3 Canadian. There are 124 pages cover to cover with 62 advertisers. First, a quick bit of news. Well, I guess it's not really news, and I haven't mentioned this, but I probably should have much sooner. Each of the articles has artwork associated with it. The artwork has been getting progressively better and more colorful at the same time. They are often pictures that depict the subject matter or are related to the subject matter in some fashion. I'm not going to describe each one because there are too many. I'll leave that for you to discover on your own. The cover of this issue has a green champagne bottle floating in the sea with clouds and sky above. Inside the bottle is an Atari 1027 printer with a sheet of paper coming out. The label on the bottle is gold, and there is a large black stripe in the gold with a gold Fuji symbol on it. Next to the bottle, in the sea, in dark blue letters is the artist's signature, which reads Matos, M-A-T-T-O-S. The credits list John Matos as the cover illustration artist. In the upper left, diagonally, is a red stripe with black text that reads Atari Printer Survey. The Antic logo is yellow with a red drop shadow, and the prices are in yellow in the upper right. In the bottom right is the barcode. Across the bottom in white text, it reads Atari Official Home Computer of the 1984 Olympics. This is another issue without an editorial. Starting with the ads, Track Microcomputer Corporation has a full-page, full-color ad announcing that AT-D2 has landed. This disk drive now has a parallel port on board. They offer turbo software to operate at up to 18 times faster throughput than the Atari 810. The drive has read, write, density, write protect, and track number indicators on board, and it claims to be valued at over $1,000, which is $3,028 today, and less than $500 in price, which is $1,514 today. Next, Antic has an ad for the Antic Anthology, Volume 1. It's $12.95 plus $1.50 shipping and handling, and it will be available November 15th. But wait, this is the January issue. That's a long wait. Next, Krell Software Corporation has a full-page monochrome ad stating that Krell is education. There are three programs depicted and described: Connections, Krell's Sat Prep series, and Botticelli.
Has anyone ever told you you have the face of a Botticelli and the body of a Dagon?
I'm a 10th grade art teacher.
The Sat program has a 70-point increase warranty for the Sat exam. Interestingly, there is a section that lists other available software, starting with Botticelli. At the bottom, it lists the systems it makes software for, which are Apple, Atari, Commodore, IBM PC, and Radio Shack. This next one is rather interesting. A company called Tomorrow Tech has a quarter-page monochrome ad for the CompuGuard. It monitors up to four separate and definable security loops automatically while you are asleep or away from home. In other words, it's a physical security system for your beloved 8-bit. It comes with a control module, cables, and security software, which is configurable. It has four closed-circuit security loops and promises secure entry and exit from the dwelling by the user. The software has user-definable zones as well as entry and exit time limits. It's priced at $145, which is $439 today, and is available not only for the Atari, but for Apple, Commodore 64, and IBM PC compatibles, which are coming soon. It requires 8K of memory, and a disk drive is preferred. The last ad is from Amdek, and this is for the new AmDisc 3. This is a full-color, full-page ad, and it shows the AmDisc 3 unit next to an Atari 1200 XL and AmDeck Color 1 monitor. This is a 3-inch cartridge-based microfloppy system. It supports up to 4 drives and double density. At double density, that is 360K of storage with one unit. This can be increased to 720K using reversible cartridges, like flipping a disk over. It supports software from LGK and OSA Plus from OSS. No pricing is given, and I always wanted one of these drives as well as the monitor. The first feature is Starting Line by Mark Grice. This department article is titled, To IOCB or Not to IOCB. This describes what an IOCB is and how they work, and how to start using them in your basic programs. IOCB is short for Input-Output Control Block. Throughout the article, an analogy of the two parties using the soup cans tied together with string to communicate is used to help you understand the concepts. Who is Mark? He's 22, a self-taught programmer who has taught more than 100 students to program, two of which are now professional programmers. He has also built and programmed an Atari-controlled robot. The next department article is in three parts and is titled Education. The first part has a title of Odd Man at Play by John and Mary Harrison. This continues from the previous month's article. This one further develops the Odd Man Out game. It dives into gameplay mechanics such as difficulty level, interaction with the user, and character animation. More of the program is presented, but it still isn't finished. Two more pages of the listing are presented. What is present demonstrates a menu where the colors change as the selection changes. There's a screenshot of this on the website. The second part of the article is titled Trivia Question Quiz by George Stone. This presents a framework for a simple trivia program. You can add your own questions and answers. The listing is less than a page long. It also has some scoring, which is displayed along with the percentage of correct answers. When a question is answered correctly, it plays this sound. For a wrong answer, it plays this sound. And there are some screenshots on the website. The third part is titled Atari Tapes by Paul Waxman. This is essentially a review of Atari's conversational Spanish and the author's experience using it to learn from ground zero. He had professional teachers listen to the tapes and said that they agreed the pronunciations were correct. He thought the speech was a little too fast for a beginner. He claims it didn't make him bilingual, but did give him an appreciation for another language. I featured conversational French on Inversitaski in Season 5, Episode 1. I did have previous experience with the language, and I thought the program was really good. There's a link to that episode in the show notes if you're interested. The next feature is Pocket Calendars by Bill Lucroth. This feature article presents two basic type-in programs to print pocket-sized calculators on the Atari 820, 822, 1020, and Alphacom printers. The first program is more intelligent than the second. It figures out what day numbers fall on what weekdays for the given year and month, and it's Y2K compliant. It prints in portrait mode. The second program is not very smart. You have to tell it what day to start numbering, how many days are in the month, etc. The feature for the second one is that it's supposed to print using the printer's sideways print ability. I couldn't get it to print sideways on the emulated Atari 1020, but perhaps that would work on a real one. There are some screenshots and PDFs on the website. The next feature is The Blossoming of Computer Art by Charles Bennett. This feature article starts out with a fantastic full-page computer-generated graphic depicting a point of view of someone typing on an Atari 800 with a giant rose on top. The article explains the image was created with a goal in mind, which was to create a work of computer art that retains its integrity as computer art while clearly conveying to the viewer more detail than a simple needlepoint look can provide. It was created with an Atari 800, MicroPainter, ColorPrint, Graphics Master, and a Star Gemini 10 printer. It is comprised of 4 images, and only 2 were drawn. Graphics Master was used to mirror them, and final details to each of the four panels were added after mirroring. It goes into detail on how each image was created from the idea to finished product, starting with hand-drawn sketches, which are also presented in the article, and color print was used to prepare four individual color images for each panel, red, yellow, blue, and black, which means 16 different images. It even details how this process translates into professional reproduction. The next feature is Has Your Robot Hugged You Today by Evan Rosen. This feature article continues from the last issue. This time, he walks you through hooking up a servo to your Atari's DE9S joystick port and presents a basic program which loads a machine language routine into memory at page 6 that can be called to control the servo by sending 2 millisecond electrical pulses down pins 1 and 2. The article helps you identify the type of servo to buy as well as the connectors and cable. It also tells you how to find the servo's mechanical rotation limits via peek and poke, so you can set the limits in your program. The listing is only half a page long. The next feature is titled Running Neck and Neck, and the second neck is NEC, by Larry Steiner. This feature article tells you that Atari's printers are often overlooked for competitors' models because they are either out-featured or outperformed, or both. It then goes into detail about setting up the NEC 8023 for use with your Atari. It gives you some help for usage with popular programs and details a couple that are problematic, such as Atari's original word processor. The article does list 7 of the most common print setting control codes. Beyond that, you're referred to the manual. And when in doubt, try the Atari 1025 driver if your software doesn't have the NEC, because it will probably produce adequate results. Who is Larry? Larry is the manager of Spectrum Video, which is a retail video store in Mansfield, Ohio. The next feature is Rotating Fonts by Saul Gruber. This feature article presents a basic program that will rotate the current font in memory, then dump it to the NEC 8023C printer. It's a short listing and takes a long time to run. It only produced garbage on the emulated Epson FX80, and not having a physical NEC, I couldn't try it on real hardware. The next feature is called Doing the Dip Switch Doodle by Robert DeWitt. This feature article describes what the dual inline package, or DIP, switches are, and how to use them. It's related to printers specifically, and how the settings can affect the printer's capabilities, like automatic new line versus no automatic new line. The next feature is called Printer Survey by Robert DeWitt. This feature article presents an overview of picking the right printer for your needs. It includes 9 printers with many reviews and a feature comparison chart that includes price. The 9 printers are the Alphacom 42, Atari 1027, Axiom AT100, Epson FX80, Epson RX80, Star Gemini 10X, Manus Mentali Spirit, the NEC PC8023A, and the Transtar 120. There are color pictures of each if that helps you make a decision. The Gemini 10X, which is the printer I had, is listed as a good buy but falls short of its performance specs in terms of speed. The next article is a feature article, and it's titled Disk Label Printer by Richard Kushner. It presents a basic program to print disk directories on 5-inch labels. The program uses superscript and small line spacing to achieve maximum text density to support showing up to 36 files on the disk, along with their sector sizes and a title line. It is intended for Epson graphic printers, and it's a relatively short program at less than a half a page in length. And I'm pretty sure I used this program to label my disks back in the day. Next is ROM Fun by David Duberman. This feature article includes many reviews of 7 cartridge-based games, including Flapper and Spark Bugs, both by ROMOX, Activision's River Raid and Kaboom, TG Products' Droids and Night Strike, and Imagic's Atlantis. Color screenshots are included, and my vote goes to the Activision titles. Next is Atari and Epson by Douglas McKay. This feature article describes how to use Atari Word Processor and Atari Writer Word Processor with Epson MX80 printers. It has convenient tables for how to enter the command codes into each word processor for common printer functions, such as double strike, underline, italics, etc. The next feature article is called WordFind by Matthew Ratcliffe. This presents a basic program for creating word search puzzles. It requires 16K of RAM, and the program listing is almost 3 pages of dual column text. A sample puzzle and solution is shown in the article, and it explains how the program works at a high level. I created 2 puzzles using the same words on the easy setting. One of those includes the solution, the other does not. Both versions are in PDF form on the website. Have fun! There are also some screenshots on the website as well. Next is Screen Dump by Jerry White and Fernando Herrera. This feature article presents a basic program that allows you to print 4-color MicroPainter screens on your Epson MX or FX graphic printer. It does a neat trick and uses 2 shades of gray to help with the color transformation. The program is roughly 1 page of dual columns in length. I printed a picture of Yoda using the utility, and it's posted to the website as a PDF along with screenshots of the program in use. Next is Typer's Toolbox by Stephen Babulski. This feature article presents a handy utility for entering programs from magazine or book listings. The basic program does 2 things. For regular lines, it works like an auto number utility. For data lines, it allows you to enter each data item and just press return, then it builds the data statement for you, commas and all. It prompts you for a starting line number, the increment value. Then you just start entering each value and pressing return. Press return twice to complete a line. It has a menu that can be used to switch between data and regular lines and offers edit and delete abilities. I entered a couple of lines to see how it works, and it did seem to make entry for data statements a bit easier. There are some screenshots of its use on the website. Who is Stephen? He's an associate pastor in a Chicago parish who is using the Atari to computerize his church's day-to-day operations. Next is A Cable for Your Printer by Robert Dewitt. This feature article tells you how to build your own Centronics parallel cable. It gives you the parts you need and the connector pinouts. So get that soldering iron ready and get busy. Next is In the Public Domain by John Weber. This department article is titled Snowbird. This presents a basic game where you must stop rats from chewing holes in all the lake's ice so that the ice skaters can skate. It's done in graphics mode 1 with a redefined character set, and control is with a joystick. There are 6 levels, and the goal is to catch 20 rats. It requires 16K of RAM, and here's a sound clip with the flapping wings, rat catches, and a death at the end. And there are some screenshots on the website. Next is Tape Topics by James Luzek. This department article is titled Calling All Tapes. This is a program that indexes your cassette tapes. It preserves up to 30 entries on each tape. It has some self-modifying code and is a little complicated to set up. I don't have a need or any practical use for the program, nor a functioning 410 or 1020, so I didn't play with it. The listing is almost 3 pages long. Next up is Assembly Language by Dave Plotkin. This department article is titled Page Flipping. If you guessed it's a primer on animation using the page flipping technique, you're a winner. In the article, he describes everything you need to know about using page flipping and explains why you want to. Hint, speed. It breaks down memory requirements as well as technical details on how to implement it. On top of that, a game is presented called Road Race, which demonstrates it by page flipping the background. The game is kind of like Pole Position. Here's a sound sample, and there's a screenshot on the website. And the last feature for this issue is called Fourth Factory by Clayton Houston.
We have a problem.
This department article is titled Tracing Numbers. In it, Clayton attempts to solve the problem of displaying calculations used during program tracing in Forth. It appears as though Forth does not have an easy way to display interim calculations suitable for tracing or comparing against hand calculations. He's writing a handful of routines, but they are not presented in a listing format. They are constructed throughout the article as he describes what they do. With that said, I'm not convinced they are complete as presented. And with that said, as you know, I'm a newbie to Forth. There are a few things I want to talk about in the new product section. The first is Penguin Products, which has K-Cover, which is a formatted plastic keyboard cover or protector claiming to prevent static, dust, and spills from getting on your keyboard. There's a picture of one being placed on the Atari 800, and it fits pretty nicely. It's priced at $9.95, which is $30 today. Next, Renaissance Technology Corp. has La Switch in two variants. It allows you to connect two printers to your Atari and switch between them with the flick of a switch. The parallel version is priced at $155, which is $469 today. And the serial version is $125, which is $379 today. That seems like it is excessively priced for the time for a simple switch. And the last option is Interactive Structures, and they have the Shuffle Buffer. This device comes in three memory configurations and allows you to queue up several print jobs and then rearrange the order in which they print. Queue management. The 32K version sells for $299, which is $905 today. The 64K version is $349, which is $1,057 today. And the 128K version is $445, which is $1,348 today. Got a few miscellaneous items to talk about as well. In the I.O. board section, reader Bruce Whiteside wrote in to describe how he modified Thorn MI cartridges so that they will fit the 400, 800, and the new 1200 XL. There are three drawings presented showing you how to etch and remove a small section of the cartridge shell near the connector. And I think this is meant mainly to adapt them for the 1200 XL's cartridge port. Next, there is a very small notice from Antic that their address is changing. It says, beginning January 1st, 1984, but this is the January issue of 1984. So hopefully it was received in December in time to get any correspondence out that was intended to be sent. Next is microscreens, and maybe this deserves its own section in the future, I don't know, we'll see. The images presented this time are by Guy Conrad from Woodside, California. The images were created with MicroPainter. The first is called Janet and is of a cat perched on a woman's chest sniffing her chin. The second is called Rose and is a close-up of, you guessed it, a rose complete with water droplets on the leaves. The third image is titled Falls and it is of a three-tier wooded waterfall scene, and all three of these images look pretty darn good. And last in the miscellany, near the last page of the magazine, there's a half page devoted to the following. Antic has made the statement, the Olympics are coming. There is some text that reads, did you know that Atari computers are the official home computers of the 1984 Summer Olympics? Well, what are you going to do about it? Exercise your Atari and your brain. Show us your stuff. It is truly Olympian, and we will print your article, program, game, or art in Antic. Okay, so challenge presented. It's up to you to answer. Get busy. If you have some feedback that you want to provide or a story you want to share related to Antic or any of the articles or products mentioned, I'd like to hear it. Send me a text or audio submission even. First up, I'd like to thank Zane Little for the track The Cool Factor from the album Another Bag of Chips, which is used in the opening sequence. I'd also like to thank you for continuing to listen, and I gotta thank the movie The Pickup Artist.